1:40 left, third period. They're chanting USA. They're trying, folks. Believe me, they're trying. Through center. Aguilar missed the clearing chance. Housley dropped it back. Canada trying to hang on and get a break. It's going to be a break. It is Joe Sakic scores. Joe Sakic scores. And that makes it 5-2 Canada. Surely that's got to be it. Yeah, when you call my name, sound a bit like a Pavlov dog. Yeah, when you lay me out, my heart will be louder than a big bass drum.
It's the Lowdown on Sports 1440, driven by Wolf GMC Buick. Truck Month continues in April. 0% financing for up to 60 months or on your new Sierra or $8,000 discounts. Visit WolfGMCBuick.com. That was well done. Memorable moment. Memorable Bob Cole moment. Many of those, many well-known and some about to be better known. We're joined by Steve Lansky from Big Mouth Sports. Thanks for joining us a day early, Steve. We appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure, Al.
Well, it is a tough day for all of Canada because Bob Cole, I mentioned that he's kind of royalty in Canada, and I don't think that's a stretch. Beloved doesn't even begin to describe Bob Cole and the impact that he had across Canada.
Not a stretch. And I was walking through a store when I read the information that Bob had passed away. And this has not happened to me many times in my life, my friend, but I got this flood of half emotion and half just these shotgun memories, just bang, 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 bang. Like you were turning the numbers on a tote board back in the old days for an election. And it would just, my wife looked at me and said, what's wrong? I said, Bob Cole passed away. And she's like, you are just, I can see you're going 1,000 miles an hour in your head. And that's exactly what I was doing because I was just remembering everything I could at that instant about Bob.
For those who you know, heard him and listened to interviews about him, and obviously he passed into icon status many years ago, what was he like to work with, Steve?
Bob was, I mean, challenge is an overused word, but Bob was a diva. I just, there's no other way to say it. I don't think Bob would be upset if I said it. Although if he was upset, he'd say, don't say that about me. You don't know what the hell you're talking about, kid. And I said, sorry, Bob, then set me in the right direction. He goes, now that I think about it, maybe I am a bit of a diva. So he was just a diva. You didn't know what you were going to get with Bob. You never knew. And my very first moments with Bob, I remember it vividly. I was 17 years old. We're in the press box at the Northlands Coliseum, and I'm doing stats. And it's hockey night in Canada. It's not the first hockey night game I did as a statistician. That was with Jim Robson and Jerry Pinder. But it would have been that first season. And Bob showed up, and the first thing Bob did, I guess I can tell this now, he would undo his top pant button and zip down his zipper so that when he sat on the stool, he was comfortable. And he had a black cigarette holder that was about, oh, I'm holding my fingers out, 7 inches long. And the cigarette never stopped smoking, and it was in his left hand, which would be the hand that I was on. So basically, right. I sucked on Bob Cole's smoke for about 3 hours that first night. And so when I did stats, I was into an internal system in the Coliseum. So I heard goal scored by number 17, and then I'd hear a different voice say assist to 99 and 2. And that means Curry scored from Gretzky and Fogel.
Yes.
So I would write it down quickly on a piece of paper for Bob, and I put it beside him. And Bob's like, now the puck's down in the Canadian zone. There's Gainey over to shut. And he hasn't given the scoring play, and the play has started. And all I do, Al, is I touch his left arm just to say, this paper is here. And he continues, you know, and the Oilers get it out of the zone, and that'll be icing. Hockey Night in Canada continues in a moment. And he takes his headset off and whips it off and looks at me. And I didn't even think I had time to think, uh-oh. And he said, kid, and I'm going to use the word fork, but the word he used was not fork. Kid, don't be touching me. Don't ever be forking touching me again. Ever. and he takes his cans and he puts them back on. All right, we're ready for the face-off. And I think it was John Shannon in the truck said, what the hell just happened up there? I said, I'll tell you after the game, John.
Oh, my God.
And that was my introduction to Bob Cole. And to be honest, at varying levels, that was Bob for the entire span that I knew and worked with him.
Love it. I love that story because it's a very human story, right? Like he clearly had his way of preparing, his way of doing the show, unorthodox, certainly based on what you described, but it's his comfort zone. And after that, who cares? Did he ever read the goal and the assist, or did that ever come up again?
That's a good question. I suspect I was a little too scared to even just slide it over there from then on. I probably just stacked him up in front of me, and if he wanted to take one, he could take it. If he wanted to leave him there, he could leave it.
Man.
But what you said was exactly right. I've never met anybody, and I'm trying to think of anybody I've ever worked with, who could go into their own cone of thought like Bob could. It's almost like Bob had a switch, and when he threw his switch, it was Bob and the guy on the sofa, and that was it. Because if you talk to Bob during the play as a producer, like, hey, Bob, we're going to commercial on the break, he wouldn't acknowledge in any way, and the whistle could come, and you'd say, commercial, Bob, and later on he'd say, didn't know we were going. I said, Bob, I told you twice. too busy up here, kid. Don't be messing with my head, you know, just stuff like that. And I remember one night we were sitting in the dressing room. We were in Winnipeg. And you remember the night Patrick Waugh made like 17 saves in overtime against the Rangers?
Yes. Yep.
And I don't know if Bob called that game. I think he did, because I think Claude Lemieux scored for Montreal. And so Waugh makes these 17 crazy saves against the Rangers. And then Claude Lemieux gets a breakaway. He's in. And scores. And then there's this pause. And I'm sitting with Doug Beforth, who's a producer, and he goes, Coley can't tell who scored because he can't see from the MSG box. And sure enough, there's nothing for like 8 seconds. And Coley goes, it was Lemieux. Lemieux got it. Yeah, that's because somebody told him Lemieux got it.
Oh, my God.
And he said, oh, I hate this press box so much. I can't see from here. I said, I don't blame you, Coley. You're doing great, buddy. Just make it up as you go along. I'll never make it up, kid. I'll never make it up.
I love it.
And you know what? This is how I felt every time I worked with him. You never knew what you were going to get. But, I mean, that clip you played of Joe Sakic, there's no chance that wasn't the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City.
No.
I remember being in a room. We were watching with a bunch of people because I was working with Sportsnet and I wasn't involved in it. And I remember that goal went in and everybody in the room cheers. And I said, quiet, we got to hear Coley. And everybody looked at me like, oh, producer, shut up. But that's the thing. You know, there's a new bunch on the block. I can do that word for word. From when the Oilers won their first cup.
I remember that call, yeah.
Right. There's a new bunch on the block. The Edmonton Oilers by name. The Oilers have won the Stanley Cup. And then Bob does he shuts up.
Yep.
Bob doesn't talk again. Because Bob knew that Bob's only job was to tell you the minimum of what you needed to know. You know, and when Sakic scored, he said on that clip you played, surely that should be enough. Or something like that.
Yep.
Well, isn't that what you were thinking on the sofa?
Yes.
I don't know how he did it, but he says it. But then he doesn't go on. He just says it. Surely that should be enough. Joe Sakic! And that's it. The guy was a conductor like Leonard Bernstein and Arthur Fiedler and 20 other guys wrapped into one. The guy could control it like nobody I've ever seen.
Was he easy, like, because, I mean, he had some legendary color people. Was he easy for the color guy to work with?
He was not. But Harry and Bob worked together because Harry was sharp as a whip. And Harry, oh, God love Harry. Harry knew every button of Bob's that he could push. I'm sure Harry Neal is having a very, very sad, thoughtful, reflective day today because He sometimes he would push Bob. He would even say to me during the commercial sometimes, watch this when we come out of break, kid. And he would say something that he knew would trigger Bob. and you couldn't necessarily hear it on the air, but then Harry would giggle. And he loved working with Bob and playing with Bob, because that's really what TV is. We're just playing. He loved playing with Bob, and he understood Bob perfectly. So he knew when to get in. He knew when to shut up. But everybody else, if you didn't figure Bob out, Bob was very tricky to work with, because when you're working with somebody at such a high level, Al, it's intimidating. This guy controlled things like I've never seen people control things. When somebody's controlling things like that, you're just trying to keep from getting steamrolled. And I think a lot of analysts felt that way.
Steve Lansky, our guest from Big Mouth Sports, we're remembering Bob Cole. Steve worked with him for a long time. The story that I want to talk about, and it's not specifically your memory of him, although you will remember the event. One of the great moments in not just broadcasting, because I do not recall this happening anywhere. Maybe they did this with Mackenzie King. I don't know. I wasn't alive, but trying to get Bob to retire from Hockey Night in Canada was like, you better pack a lunch. It took a long time, and there was several overthrows of, CBC governments before it happened. This was not an easy thing to get accomplished.
It was not, and that's exactly where there were several overthrows. Nancy Lee was in there as the head of CBC Sports. Scott Moore came in there as the head of CBC Sports, and Scott made it his mission to replace Bob. Now, I will say this. Scott probably wasn't wrong. Scott was probably right place, wrong time. Wrong time for Bob. Right time for everybody else. I mean, Bob went kicking and screaming, and he didn't go. Bob wasn't going to go. And I understand that from Bob. I mean, Bob was such a perfectionist in his own work.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob would never, ever have said, I've lost a step, or I can't do this. The only thing I ever heard him say was, I'm finding it harder to identify numbers. I'm finding it harder to identify players. So Bob would never go on his own. But when you look even way back, and this is what I thought you were going to reference, when the Soviets left the game in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And right, and Bob was doing color, I believe, I could be wrong, with Ken Dryden and maybe Dennis Potvin.
Wow.
And Bob said, they're going to go. They're going home. They're going home, as the Soviets left the ice. And it wasn't that he said those words. It was that he had the incredulousness that we would all have sitting at home.
Yeah.
So Bob was a huge fan, and Bob loved star players. Bob loved Wayne Gretzky. He loved Dennis Potvin. He loved Guy Lafleur. Like, and I'm not using love in any other term other than that's exactly what it was. He loved being able to talk to these guys and understand, because Bob was an athlete too, right? Bob was a curler for Newfoundland, and Bob understood what being an elite athlete was. And he loved talking to these guys. If I said to him, Bob, you got to talk with Wayne Gretzky for 5 hours. No problem. Just come and get me when you need me. And that was it. That would be the end of Bob. He would just immerse himself in these people, in these moments, in these events. He just loved the game so much.
We have to run, but I want to ask you one final question, if I may. And we're going to have you back tomorrow and talk about the Oilers. But okay. You've got all that TV background. I feel so sorry for your wife when you're watching a movie or any live event, when a shadow of a mic boom appears and you go crazy and she can't enjoy the program because Captain Steve over there is still producing the broadcast. So, but how best, obviously, there has to be something tonight on the national broadcast to make this moment memorable. It would be dereliction of duty not to. How best, like, do you run the old clips? Do you bring back Harry Neal? How would you, if you're formulating the idea, because I don't know how much time the TV producers will have to figure this out, but if you're formulating the idea, what comes to your mind, your producer's brain, in that moment, thinking about how to honor the memory of Bob Cole?
So how long was that question? 30 seconds?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought of 50 things. I hadn't thought about that till right now. If I was producing tonight, what'd I do? I would thought of 50 things. So I would start the show. I would cold open the show. The very first thing you saw would be Bob calling moments. Now, there's something that I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. A lot of times with people like this, their obituary is cut before they pass away.
Yes.
So that when they pass away, we have that 3-minute obituary already in the can that we can play back. One of the famous stories at Hockey Night in Canada is Foster Hewitt found out that Hockey Night had his obit before he passed away in April 85. Foster was not happy. I imagine Bob would not have been happy either. So there is something in the can already.
Right.
But right now, for me, I would be running around finding everybody I can. Kelly Rudy, tell me your favorite Bob Cole story. Go. Ron McClain, tell me your favorite Bob Cole story. Go. Kevin Bieksa, favorite Bob Cole. Go. And everybody else that was on the broadcast tonight, and I would play those either coming out of commercial or going into commercial in intermission, I would quite frankly make tonight a tribute to Bob Cole. I realize the Leafs aren't playing. I realize the Oilers aren't playing. In fact, now that I think about it, there's no Canadian teams playing. I'm not even sure that matters.
No, I don't think it does.
No, I don't think it does. He supersedes all that. But these would be discussions I'd be having right now, but my mind would be going 1,000 miles an hour. But that would be part of it. And I'd also say to the people in tape, I need you to find me every great Bob Cole call you can find. Every single one. And I might even assign a producer to say, I need you to put together some Bob Cole material that I can salt through the show. Not just at the beginning. This is a mistake they make. Not just at the beginning. Give it to me all night and have Ron say, you know, folks, we're going to remember Bob Cole all night tonight because Bob Cole deserves remembering all night tonight. That's how I deal with it.
Steve, it took me a millisecond to think of you when I found out the news. And tribute to you, you'd already DM'd me. So
I'm just there for you, my friend. I just want you to have a good show, and I want to talk about somebody that alternately I loved and hated sometimes in the same day.
Beautiful. I love it. And you gave us the real Bob Cole. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'll take care.
All right. That was good stuff. That is brilliant stuff. Bob Cole, you know, he basically told on the Mother Corp, and everybody came to his aid. They're trying to get rid of me. everybody comes running. He's like, Bob Cole, what the hell? You know, nobody has that kind of clout. Bob Cole had it in his back pocket. Okay, on the way, we're going to talk NFL draft. Austin Mock from The Athletic has done many mock drafts, and we're going to talk about tonight what to expect, what surprises we might find, and what he thinks are the most interesting stories. Lowdown with Low Tide on Sports 1440. It's the Lowdown on Sports 1440 for Wolf GMC Buick. Truck Month continues in April. Check it out, wolfgmcbuick.com. We say hi to Doug and Mary, and you have lots to say. There's a lot of people online who want the Oilers to start Calvin Pickard. We'll talk about that in the final segment. I will tell you now, no. No, that's not how... That's not how you help your starting goalie. They lost in overtime last night, folks. Let's not hit that big panic button, even though it's red and it's got panic on it and it keeps glowing. Don't do that. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Tonight is one of the biggest sports nights of the year. And for those of us who are immersed in the NFL draft, it's like Christmas. Cannot wait. Every year, it never fails to disappoint. Explosive trades, picks out of order. The Jets will do something nuts. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the NFL draft. We're joined now by Austin Mock from The Athletic, who's done his fair share of mock drafts. And I love the one that he published on April 19th that has the Eagles taking a defensive tackle. Welcome to the show. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm just like you. I cannot wait for the draft tonight. It's one of the best events of the year.
So let's start with the fact that pretty much everybody thinks that QBs are going to go 1, 2, maybe 3. I mean, it's great players who aren't quarterbacks, but that's the position, and we all know. Do you think Williams, May are like that's 1, 2 for sure?
Yeah, I mean, I think Williams is one for sure. I think that would be one of the bigger upsets in like recent draft history, maybe ever. It's not trending that way for number two. Jaden Daniels from LSU seems to be the guy that everybody's pointing to. I still think Drake May has I think it's closer than what people think. Like, people are kind of just saying it's going to be Jaden Daniels. Drake May is ranked higher on like a huge majority of big boards throughout the industry. Again, these aren't the boards that the NFL teams are using. Maybe they are using them as a you know, reference, but it's not their board. But it just doesn't seem like Jaden Daniels is the slam dunk at number two. But I do think 1, 2, 3 is probably going to be quarterback. So a lot of excitement early tonight in the draft, that's for sure.
So if you're the Giants or a team outside the top three, how tempting is it to try to get in there? I mean, the Patriots are going to take number three, right?
Yeah, it seems that way. They have, you know, how much is Robert Kraft going to push to try to get a quarterback to get this ship right? They have a lot of holes on their roster, so they could, you know, take a Marvin Harrison Jr., who's a safe, you know, people are calling him a generational wide receiver prospect. But, you know, and there's rumors out there from my colleagues saying sources are saying that it's going to take a king's ransom to get them to trade. So I think you, like, if it was me, I'd probably look to trade out just because I think you can get, because there's quarterbacks that are, you know, obviously, like you said, that's the position in the NFL that everybody needs. I think you can probably get someone to overpay, but just, you know, all signs are pointing to them probably keeping the pick there.
How long does it take for the two big wide receivers to go off the list, in your opinion?
I say they don't make it past six. And depending on when those quarterbacks go, I think five is even a chance. I think we could see them go 4 or 5. I wouldn't be shocked if someone traded up to 5 to get Neighbors, if assuming Harrison Jr. goes 3 or 4. But yeah, I think 5 or 6, 6 at the absolute latest.
So we could go, how many could we go before somebody who plays offensive or defensive line, like on the line, goes?
Yeah, I think 7. Probably see that, but those wide receivers are super, you know, they're definitely Neighbors and Harrison Jr., but even Odunze is someone who I think teams could trade up for. So it could be 8. Like, 8 wouldn't be that shocking for me if, you know, say we go 4 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers. Defensive line gets really interesting. I think defensive line, like, there's a scenario where it's, you know, 11, 12. I think 8 is probably the earliest for a defensive lineman, but definitely could be outside of the top 10.
I'm an Eagles fan, so I love your choice of defensive tackle at 22. Do you think Newton makes it that far?
Yeah, he can be tough. There's a pretty split opinion on him from a lot of the big boards that I've been looking at. Some have him, you know, early teens, and then some are like late 20s. I've even seen him like low 30s. So he's kind of a split player. But that happens when you get outside of those top 12 prospects that are, you know, kind of consensus. But I think he's a guy. I know there's been some medical postseason medical issues. I don't even know if I want to really call them issues. I wonder if that's kind of making him undervalued. Just seems like a guy who was like a top 20, consensus top 20 guy for so long, falling a little bit. It just feels like that's a Howie Roseman pick. And he's at a premier position on the defensive line. Fletcher Cox just retired. It just seems like a perfect fit there if Newton's available.
So who goes first, a DB or a tight end?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll go tight end. I think Brock Bowers sneaks ahead of either Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold.
It's going to be wild. When do you, like, this is the fun part, and I'm just picking your brain, and you don't have to, I'm not going to hold you to it, but when do you think the trades happen, and when do you think we see a wild card pick that makes people go, oh my?
I think we get a trade in the top 10 for sure. I'd be kind of shocked. You know, the Chargers are the first, like, everybody kind of thinks they're the most likely trade partner, and I think they should trade back just because they need a lot of you know, picks to kind of rebuild their roster right now. I think we definitely get one in the top 10. I feel like there's, all you know, there's a rumor came out today that the Rams are looking to go into the top 10. So I think there's always one. I'm definitely someone who thinks, like, it's not going to be as crazy as we think. And then if they, you know, if it's like leading up to it and it's kind of boring, I don't think it'll ever be as boring as we think. So I think we get a surprise trade and a surprise pick in the top 10. I'll go a little bit on the, put my neck out there a little bit.
Sports 1440. We're talking National Football League draft, and there's so much going on today that we're devoting an entire segment to it. Not enough, but we love it anyway. Austin Mock, our guest from The Athletic. I have a Buffalo Bills fan here who has put all his money and his house down on the Bills taking a wideout. Is that the play there?
Yeah, that's probably the most likely. My only worry there is if they're a little bit in no man's land with, like, there's the top three, and then there's Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, who's kind of in that second tier by himself. Now, he did. There's some shoulder issue that maybe he could bump down. Maybe the Bills trade up and go for him if he slides a little bit. But I could see him going early teens if somebody wanted to go for a wide receiver. But I don't know if they want to. I could see the Bills maybe trading back into, like, the early second if somebody wants to swoop up into the late first to grab somebody. And then I think that is kind of the sweet spot of where they're probably not overdrafting for a wide receiver. They need a wide receiver. They need a pass catcher. Their draft spot with how the board's falling. Now, it could be totally different come tonight. You know, surprises could happen. But I do wonder if, like, 28, that range is kind of in no man's land for where a wide receiver should be taken.
Final question. Where do you think the Dallas Cowboys will go position-wise, and is there a name that you think fits them best?
I think they'll go offensive lineman. If Graham Barton from Duke makes it to them, I think he'll be their guy. He can kind of play all positions. The other guy that seems to be is Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma offensive tackle. He's kind of more of a project, so I wonder if that'll kind of, like, they're kind of in will now mode, not necessarily like wait a year, but win now mode, not necessarily wait a year. So I think it's definitely offensive tackle, and I feel like those two, if Barton's there, it's probably going to be him. If
Thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
All right, there you go. We lost him a little bit at the end, but that was great stuff. If Declan applied himself, he could come up with the technology that allows cell phones not to cut out, but
he was right back at the end. It was almost like he wanted to get away from you. He was waiting for the exit ramp, and he took it. Because as soon as you said goodbye, it was perfectly clear, and he was like, yep, I'm gone.
Wow, you're so cruel. That's Austin Mock from The Athletic. A really good follow, by the way. A-Mock, M-O-C-K, 419. And his mock draft is really good. Low Tide, my favorite Bob Cole moment was the Pisani shorty in 06. I'll never forget it. Here's a break! That's how he started it, Crow's Nest Oiler. He just did have a really, really interesting way of framing great moments in sports in a, not really a homespun, but a very specific and simple way that when you listen back to it, it just rhymes. There's something about Bob Cole. There was something about Bob Cole, and I always call it clarity, but he had whatever it is as a broadcaster. Brilliant Rolling Stones, too. Well, we thought because we needed something with oomph, right? Like when you're playing Bob Cole calling the Joe Sakic goal, you just can't do an acoustic ballad. It's got to be something with horns and a little electric guitar. And so we picked the Stones' Bitch, which is a great, great tune. Okay. Do we have anything in the final segment, or can I read all of these Oiler Bob Cole texts that have been coming in?
You can read all the texts. You can do whatever you want. You can make a sandwich, cough. Like, it is your domain.
I've been doing that. So I haven't That's been making a sandwich, though. Yeah. Not a bad idea. What kind of sandwich did you bring today?
A peanut butter.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
Yeah, peanut butter and jam.
Peanut butter and jam. Yeah.
That's not good. Peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jam.
Grape jelly and peanut butter is very good.
Yeah, grape jelly is awesome.
Yeah.
I can't lie.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break. Your comments next. There's a ton of them. We're going to scoot through a lot. Lowdown with Low Tide on Sports 1440. It's the Lowdown on Sports 1440 for Wolf GMC Buick. Truck Month continues in April. All at wolfgmcbuick.com. Who's doing that song?
That's Gym Class Heroes.
That's real nice. I like that.
There's like a sped up mix to that song that I'll run to sometimes, and it just gets me flying, man. Like it goes, it's crazy.
I had a great summer the year that album came out.
Yeah?
Breakfast in America by Supertramp. Oh my, I would have died if I'd done that 5 years in a row, but it was good.
How does that equate to the song I just played?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, it was just a good summer.
Well, because that not like, much of her something? Girlfriend, she's the one I got. That's yeah. Supertramp, right?
Oh.
The little sample that they did.
I do like Breakfast in America, although I'm kind of restricted to Goodbye Stranger.
Great song.
Yeah.
Do you like Give a Little Bit from Even in the Quietest Moments?
Oh, I do like that song. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I really like Supertramp. They're so good.
They're good.
Yep. All right. They're going home. People are texting and stuff like that today, and we all know what it is. Bob definitely called that Rangers Montreal game when Patrick was out of his head. He robbed him. Robbed him, I tells you. Wonderful words shared about Mr. Cole, the Foster Hewitt and Bob Cole 72 Summit Series play-by-play was the pinnacle of hockey broadcasting for me, from Mark. He really cut a swath. I mean, the big moments, he was there, and he described them with great clarity. And he had an editing button in his brain that allowed him to say things that were concise, precise, and lasted forever. Not everybody has that. Come on, LT. That game was Skinner all night long. If he plays like they did last night, the Oilers will not see the second round. Look, he's got to make some stops, true. A lot of that is just bad, 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 bad decision-making by the Oilers. Look, I admit he should be better. I understand that. But I'm also saying that the Edmonton Oilers have to be a lot more careful with the puck. Evan Bouchard is being targeted. The Leon Draisaitl line was not good. These are not pieces of information that should come as news to you. So all I'm saying is, along with Stuart Skinner needs to make more stops, there are other bullet points on that game last night. And often, I sit here, trust me, people just hammer the goalie all night long. And that's not fair. This team was not... LA was very good. You've got to give credit to the other man. That said, there's some blame to go around here. There just is. Messier, beautiful, scores! I can't even begin to do his voice. I wouldn't try. Although, did you hear Lansky? He did a great impersonation of him. Oh, touch me, kid. Don't ever, ever touch me. when Lansky gets animated like that, it is hilarious. We got to, can we do it? Is there some kind of way we can do that to get him like going? Not that we want to have him, you know, upset or anxious while he's talking to us, but when he gets like excited like that in his own brain, it's fun.
So you just want to rile him up on purpose.
Totally. Totally. Okay. So like,
yeah, we can do it. I mean, you would probably know how to push his buttons a little bit better than I would, but I'll do my best. I had him laughing on the phone pretty good. I'll tell you.
He was
cackling.
Yeah.
I was like, Steve, you know, can I throw in hold? We'll get you on in 35, 40 seconds. And he said, oh, 40's too long. And I was like, well, by the time we've been talking, it's probably down to 25. And he just loved it. So did my job. I did my part.
Yeah.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
What I would say to him, if I want to make tomorrow when he comes on, what I would say to him is something like, I can't believe how good that broadcast is. Everything's concise. The color commentating is perfect. Everybody's kind of like in motion and everything's described perfectly. I wouldn't change a thing. How about you, Steve? Oh, I'm snorting. I'm laughing so hard. That's the thing. Like, when you've been around a long time in life and you know people, you know what to push, you know?
Yep.
Like, if ever in my life I was in Steve's living room, and I never will be, but if I were, what I would do is I would pick a movie where there's obvious mistakes, like a mic boom or something.
Yeah.
Because Steve can't stop it. He's like a cat on a hot tin roof. When something is wrong on the screen in front of him, it doesn't matter if it's hockey or a movie or anything, he can't help it. He cannot help himself. I would like, did you ever see Clockwork Orange?
Yes, I did. Okay. And you know what? I tried to read the book when I was like 13, like three separate times.
Thank you, didn't.
No, well, I eventually ended up, you know, getting to it later, but it's in a made up language. So I couldn't understand it when I was like 13. It was brutal. But yes, I've seen the movie, to your
point. So I think what we should do is we should take toothpicks and keep Steve's eyes open.
Ooh.
And make him watch brutal mistakes on movies.
The
and
Luvico technique.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that. That's cruel for no reason at all. But
that movie gives me nightmares. I do not watch that movie.
It's a horrible movie. You know, Stanley Kubrick himself banned that movie in the UK for a number of years because there were too many copycat crimes.
I watched the movie one night, and we moved into the house in 98, And my wife had this thing where if I watched like a movie she didn't like, and it could be My Fair Lady, she would say, if you watch that, I'm going to bed. And I'd watch it. She just got up and leave. She didn't want to watch it anymore. So one of them was A Clockwork Orange. She said, I've seen this movie. I don't want to watch it. I'm like, I've watched it. I don't remember if it upset me or not. I was so upset. I went to bed at 3 a.m. and I didn't sleep. It was so upsetting.
It's a brutal one, man. Yeah, it's brutal. It's one of the most like banned movies of all time.
Well, it should be.
Rightfully so, yeah.
Yeah, it's just
great movie though. Like totally credit, great movie.
Sure. Yeah. Like if you're studying film, you know, do that.
100%.
But Singing in the Rain, and he's so what's the actor's name?
Malcolm McDowell.
Right. He's brilliant in that.
Oh, he's incredible.
But he's so brilliant in it. Whenever I saw him, whatever, he could be on Cannon or Rockford Files, I'd go, oh God, it's him. You know?
Yeah, that did stick with him for his whole life. Like, cause he never, like, obviously that role is the peak of a lot of people's career and as well. And yeah, he could just never shed it. His image, it was always tainted.
Isn't it the song Singing in the Rain?
Singing in the Rain, yeah.
Even when I hear that song, I go, oh no.
Then when he's up in the bathtub and it's like clicking.
And then the spasms and like, oh, you know what the problem is with that movie is I remember it all.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of it.
It really is a great movie, though.
Yeah. No, it's a fantastic movie. But there are just some movies in life that you watch and you go, I'll never watch Sophie's Choice again. I was so depressing.
It's another good one.
It's a terrific movie.
Something you mentioned before the break that's been weighing on my mind that I think you wanted to get to. The calls for Calvin Pickard to start.
Yeah, well,
you're saying this is nonsense.
Because here's the thing. You've worked all year to make the goaltending not the issue. And it was a game that got to overtime, and they didn't win in overtime. And the overtime goal, Cody Ceci, he cannot pinch, and he does. Darnell Nurse is a little off where he should be. Kopitar, veteran guy, sees it, bang, it's too late. Nurse tries to intercept, great shot, goes glove side, which is where you go against Skinner. And I get all of that. You cannot change this late. Look, if they lose against L.A., the defense is going to be totally different next year. Evander Kane is gone. Maybe Stuart Skinner has a partner. There's going to be a lot of changes. I guarantee it. This team is trying to win the Stanley Cup, and they're going to scrap everything that doesn't work for parts. But having said that, this is what you have. This is the world you live in today. You've got your sixth defenseman. You've got Stuart Skinner as your starting goaltender, and giddy up. The only change you're going to see, I think Dylan Holloway is going to play higher in on the depth chart. That's it, baby. Why would you? It's too late to change. What's that Carole King song? It's too late, baby. It's too late.
Sounds
though we really
right.
did try to make it.
So how many minutes do you think he gets?
Who?
Dylan.
Oh, well, I mean, that second line was not good. So Nuge, that's Nuge, Fogel, Dreisaitl.
Yep.
The top line, I think, is okay, but you might move Nuge back up to the top line, put Henrique at third line. And then, I mean, I don't know who, like, do you put Perry on right side? Do you put Holloway? Who do you put with Leon? I don't know. I don't know who you put with Leon. Nuge is the guy, but Nuge was there. Fogel was the guy who lost Doughty. Fogel was the guy who lost Doughty. He was. And Nuge got there, and he altered the play, but not enough. So I give Nuge credit on that play. I don't give him blame. Because he doesn't pick him up until, bang, Doughty, who's like 24 again. I don't know how he did that. He's gone. That was a great goal by an all-time great player and Drew Doughty.
Yeah,
that's the story. That's the story, Morning Glory. Drew Doughty ate their lunch, packed it up, ate it again, bought the restaurant, sold the restaurant, bought a nice car, drove out of town with 2 points. I mean, he did. He's the story. He and Kopitar. Kopitar have been beating the Oilers like a mule, like a rented mule for a decade and a half, and they did it again. That's the story. And if you're the Oilers, you've got to be sick of this. You got to run, man. You're 200 feet from the net and you're Warren Fogel. You haul ass. And if you're Evan Bouchard, get that puck out, young man. And Cody Ceci, you can't pinch there. You cannot pinch there. It's overtime. It's just started. Everybody needs to roll through all four lines, get rolling, and then you can start doing things. Do not take the chance there. Hell of a shot by Kopitar. Did we get a phone call?
We did. We got to open up the phone lines a little bit more because I believe that came in from a gentleman named Ed, incredibly impassioned, was talking about how he wants Calvin Pickard to be the starting goalie, how he likes his style. He's more of a hybrid goalie, how Skinner gets beat over the shoulder too much.
He does get beat. Yep.
The whole time I was thinking, it was very impassioned, and I was just thinking we should really spend a segment opening up the phone lines.
Well, you know, we have
not today because we have 6 minutes left or something.
We have a show tomorrow. Do you want to do that?
I would love to do a segment. Yeah, we open up the phone lines and take callers.
I did not mention it yesterday. Are you sure we have this guest tomorrow?
Well, the time is not set, but I have an email from him saying, talk Friday.
Okay, so do you want to tell the folks who we're going to have on the show several times during the playoffs?
Yeah, Mark Spector.
There you go. Giddy up. So it'll be Speck tomorrow, Lansky tomorrow. Do we have Yaremchuk, or did we have to trade him to get Spector?
No, I think we still have Yaremchuk, because Yaremchuk and Lansky are in the enviable position of both being in hour number two. Yeah. I think Speck will slide in hour number one.
I would trade Yaremchuk for Spector. I understand, please.
Would you trade? Okay, so is this like your ultimate trade? Like, I'm out, Yaremchuk comes in here.
No, I wouldn't trade you.
Okay.
You know too much. You could write in a tell-all, and I'd be in trouble.
I appreciate that, my goodness. But yeah, we're going to have Mark. He's the resident sports 1440 man on the road. Was flying today, wasn't going to work out, but he's going to be in LA. He's going to be on the ice for practices. He's going to be in the rinks. So he's going to be joining us tomorrow, and we are going to be breaking down game 3 against the LA Kings. And to just so everyone knows, Low Tide has given him carte blanche, where he has the freedom to call in at any time and report anything to us, even if it's not a full segment, just to get on the show.
Even if he's just like, you know, I'm listening to Carmelita by Warren Zevon, and I'm finding the chicken shack, and I wanted to call you from there. I don't care. Do you know that song, Carmelita, Hold Me Tighter? I think I'm sicking down.
Is it anything like Copacabana by Barry Manilow?
It is totally the opposite of Copacabana.
So if I can just picture the opposite of that, I know the song.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think I can picture that.
There's no Lola in it. I don't think there's any merengue.
Who else was it? It was Ricky or Tony?
Remember.
I don't know.
Why do you always come up with these songs that I hate? Now it's in my brain.
I'm sorry. If we had another break, we could have played it, but what are you going to do?
DNBC. That wasn't a snort, Low Tide. More of a honk. Well, you know, this is the time of year when Low Tide starts getting weird stuff happening. And it's all because of the stuff outside and the things that happened in the 60s with the Elmer's glue. And there's nothing I can do about it. Who do I report to? You know, you kids out there, you don't know what we were between the stuff that was in the houses with the asbestos, with the Elmer's glue, that all of you were B in grade one, and then pretty soon you're flying on a carpet like you're in the Big Lebowski. And that was life, baby. It was all over. What's the first time you ever got a drink from an adult, like an adult drink from an adult?
I was at the Wood Mountain Rodeo. I was 13, I think. My dad gave me a Pilsner. I just cocked it back. It was cool.
My Uncle Mark, I'm 11 years old. Ooh. He's out visiting us for the summer. And I said, that rum looks so clear and interesting. And he said, well, hold on. So he goes outside. And he asked my dad, he said, I'd like to pour your son a shot of rum. Do you want, is that okay? And right. He goes, yeah, that'll be fine. And so then he said, do you want me to like put some like Coke or anything? He goes, no, just give it to him straight. So he poured me like more than a shot. Wow. Like it was quite a bit. And he goes, just drink that down. I felt like somebody had poured gasoline on fire down my throat. Wow.
Man, listen. I don't know how it came to this, but I remember the first time I had vodka, and I would have been like probably, 14, and I just thought I was drinking gasoline. I was like, I'm never doing that again. And for the most part, I didn't, to be fair. So
The one to stay away from, you kids out there, the one to stay away from is tequila. Because if you have like 6 shots of tequila, you wake up in somewhere where they use the word road allowance a lot, and you're in it, and you have swallowed 800 buckets of sand. That is tequila.
One last thing before we hit the road. We got a couple minutes here, so maybe not one last thing. Vegas up 2-0 on Dallas. I thought Dallas was going to win the Stanley Cup. They were my objective pick coming out of the Western Conference. Is it over? Are you ready to give it the Low Tide stamp of it's over for Dallas?
Vegas and Edmonton will meet in the playoffs later down the line.
Yeah, so that's going to be the conference finals then, hey?
I'm telling you. I feel like it's...
I can't. I'm shocked.
It's meant... the hockey gods have said, all right, They want it. They're going to get it. And I want it at the beginning of the playoffs. And now we're not going to get that. Stone's going to have an opportunity to get rolling, which he's doing. And I don't know what the hell happened to Dallas, but that's another team that's going to have to make some moves in the summer. Because when we all talk, oh, they got mobile defensemen. Guess what? Smash mouth, smash mouth, smash mouth, smash mouth. Drew Doughty, filthy, filthy man. And he is going home to Los Angeles with 2 points.
I'm
going
to say something else. I think if Dallas goes out in the first round of Vegas, I think the Edmonton Oilers have a borderline cakewalk to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Doctor, they fans deserve it. I don't know if the team does. Maybe they do. Some of them do. Maybe. I don't know.
Like conference finals. I think we cakewalk to the conference finals. There's not a doubt in my mind Edmonton will be in the conference finals.
Well,
that's when it gets a little bit iffy. But if Dallas isn't there, which I think is far and away the toughest matchup.
I'll use something. I've had people text me from as far away as Newfoundland in the last 24 hours saying, tell Declan that he's jinxing the Oilers with his I don't have any doubt stuff. So just so you know, people are going to be mad at you again.
Well, I wouldn't call it a full jinx because I did say I picked Dallas to win the Stanley Cup. But I'm saying if Dallas is out, man, things match up incredibly well for this team.
People are getting mad.
That's the one, and they're down 2-0.
People are getting mad at you. I'm just saying. I'm trying to protect you here.
Well, can't please everybody.
All right. Thanks for tuning into the Lowdown. Jason Greger on the way. Time for an update.